Tomorrow night at 7:30, the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra will be performing as the first of their Masterwork series for 2018. And that concert, which will take place at the Capitol Theater at the Overture Center in Madison, will include three works. One symphony by C.P.E. Bach. Is it Storm and Stress? Well, maybe. It's kind of an interesting case. Also on the program, Arnold Schoenberg's Chamber Symphony No. 1. And it'll all round out with the big double concerto by Brahms, a concerto for violin and cello and orchestra. And the performers, the soloists for the occasion, are with me in my studio today, right here for the midday. They'll give us some insights into various things. A husband and wife team give us some insights into performing that way. And we have with us Sohyun and Leo Altino. Welcome to the midday.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Good to be here.
So let's see. We have violin and cello, and actually there's a fair amount of music for the violin and cello, isn't there, if you look around a little bit?
Well, not as much as...
You would like.
yes, that is true, I think. Not as much as for string quartets, certainly. Or even string trios, I think, there's more written for that genre than for violin and cello alone. I think the sheer difficulty of writing for the two instruments... has made it maybe not as encouraging maybe for some composers.
And some pieces for violin and cello that were written earlier before the 20th century maybe were more for casual dinner music sort.
That kind of thing. What makes it so difficult to write for violin and cello?
That's a good question. I think, do you want to take us?
Well, I think when you think about string chamber music, you expect the bass line, the melody, and the middle voices and all working harmoniously, taking turns different roles. And when you just have the violin and the cello, you have to make up for the two missing voices. And although the pieces we ended up recording recently, you don't really feel like there's a lack, but still... the more familiar sound or the range of sound you expect, it's hard to do with two.
Right. So when the instruments have to take roles, for example, before the 20th century, when music was written for the violin and cello, then the cello would often be accompanying, with a bass.
That was the tradition, wasn't it? Going back a long way.
And then in the 20th century, with composers like Kodály and Ravel, then both instruments have equal roles. So many times the cello is playing the melody, and then the violin is accompanying. And that's a challenge. How do you write for a piece written for an instrument that's going to be naturally is a lower instrument and being accompanied by a high instrument?
Sure. So does Brahms pull it off in this concerto, this double concerto? How does he do it?
He does it masterfully.
Yes. And the parade of emotions that this concerto goes through, how would you describe them?
I think it's quite turbulent.
It is. I think... it's so complex. It's a very complicated concerto. It's an unusual piece. It's in the later part of his life, one of the last of the great concertos written in the 19th century. And it's unusual, for example, the very beginning. It begins with just four measures of the orchestra tutti, with introduction to the main theme, and then the cello already has a cadenza.
Yeah, well, that's right. It's a little surprising that way, isn't it? Cello is in the spotlight, and you think, wait a minute, where's the violin?
Exactly.
Oftentimes, composers
do that. Beethoven, for example, when he wrote his triple concerto for violin, cello, and piano, maybe they really like the cello, I guess. I'm not sure. But every movement begins with the cello.
That's worth investigating further. But in the meantime, you have recorded together various times over, and one of your CDs you mentioned Kodály, and it also includes, though, this work by Ravel, a sonata for violin and cello, which I don't think is heard that much compared to Ravel's other works.
Yeah.
And if we hear the first movement of that, what will we hear?
The first movement is great. It was written in 1920, and it was written after Debussy's death, whom Ravel admired greatly. And Ravel is a perfectionist. It took him 2 years to write this work. It's not very long, maybe 20 so minutes. I ran into it the first time at a music festival, Kanaiza Hall in Maine, and I was in high school and I heard it on the LP disc and it was so beautiful. I bought the music probably that summer and I sat down with a friend, tried to read it. It was impossible. So I had to put it away. Actually, the first movement was okay, but after that was really pretty difficult. And then I tried to do it again during college, undergraduate time with another friend, and then we ran into similar issues in the fourth movement. So I had to wait quite a bit before I got to learn it all the way through with Leo.
Well, do you want to hear the first movement or one of those more difficult later movements? Do you have a preference there?
I think the first time, first movement.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
Thank you.
first movement of Maurice Ravel's Sonata for Violin and Cello from 1920, as performed by my guests today. They are Suljan and Leo Altino. They're going to be performing the Brahms Double Concerto, the Concerto for Violin and Cello, with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra tomorrow night. Concert starts at 7:30. And you're this husband and wife duo, although you've come from very far apart, from Korea and Brazil, respectively. And such is the world of music that people from distant places can get together and collaborate, both professionally and personally. How long did it take you to work up a musical collaboration?
Not long. We met for the purpose of making music together. We were both hired to teach in a festival in South America, in Colombia. And we met in New York to prepare for the tour. First, we were going to tour several cities in Colombia and then teach there for a month. So it was already from the very beginning.
And we didn't choose to play together. We were just put together had to sit down and practice right away.
Yeah, and I was really struck by Suljan, you know, from the moment I met her, really. My joke is that in 15 minutes, I knew she was the one for me.
Yeah, but I think she said it was like more like a month for her, right?
Yes.
Such is life.
That is true. Yeah, I'm a patient man.
And so, it's required. It is often required.
That's right. So we worked a lot, and I think in the process of working and being in that environment with students and talking about all those things, we got to know each other very, very well. And so the rest was history, I guess.
I think we fight less about music now.
Yeah, I would say
well,
that
if you're going to fight, fighting about music is a good thing, I would say.
Yes, it can be challenging, I think. But
is that mostly, you think, because it's violin versus cello, or is it broader musical points of departure?
I think it's to do with everything, including personalities.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, music is such a personal thing,
sure.
Right? Musical tastes, and that goes to the practice room. When we spend so many hours by ourselves, and we're educated by different teachers and from different backgrounds, different languages that we speak. So we bring different perspectives that they can complement each other if we learn to work together. But that process of learning to work together is a challenging one, right? Because at first we can take offense, like, oh, you think in Brahms a dot means what? No, that's not a sforzando, that's not a mezzo forte. So then there are those arguments that can become eventually very constructive.
But I think it's also to do with trust. Do I trust this person's musical taste?
And who would think that? I mean, given all of the, you know, the dynamic markings and all that in most music, certainly in most modern music, that there'd be so much room for argument, and yet there is.
More than you'd imagine.
But it all has to boil down, and is it a matter then, I suppose, mostly of compromise?
At some point we have to ask ourselves, first we really have to try each other's ideas wholeheartedly, you know, as best as we can. And at some point we just have to let go.
But also we depend a lot on recording devices when we listen objectively
and
together.
And then listen back, you mean, to what you have done and say, oh, maybe you're right about that?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Listening,
it's time saver.
Yeah. It's like looking in the mirror. You can tell, okay, it looks like this, you know.
That's true, because I would think when you're so immersed in the music by making it, that it could be a little hard to get that perspective otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It makes you wonder how people managed before recording.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of unresolved arguments, I would guess. Now, what is this CD that you have, Leo? It's all one composer, contemporary composer, and what's the idea behind it?
So this CD is the complete works by, I'm from Brazil, and one of the greatest composers alive right now is Marlos Nobre. And a few years ago, I recorded the CD with my mother on the piano, and it's his complete works. And the funny thing is that I remember that even when I was, I don't remember exactly, 8 years old or 9 years old, when Marlos Nobre was at our home, and he was already very famous, and, you know, in Europe often, in the United States, and And my mother, you know, asked me to play some of his music for him that I was learning already. So some of that music's in there. Very challenging, but I had no idea. You know, little kid, you know, playing for the composer. Who knew that years later I would be recording all of his works? So the movement, the piece that I think we're going to listen is called Poema. And Poema means poem. And it's an arrangement from the second movement of his first piano concerto. It's kind of a love song that he wrote to his wife. The language is his early music language. He changed a lot later on in his life, but he made this arrangement.
Poema. Poema, and what's the name of the composer again, the Brazilian composer?
Marlos Nobre.
Marlos Nobre, and this is from a CD devoted entirely to his work. So these are these the complete cello works by him on this disc?
That's correct.
What's going on there, mm-hmm. And that's charming stuff. It's, you know, when you think of Brazilian composers, you think of all those rhythms, mm-hmm. you know, but here it's a more of a global sound, I would say.
Right. Yes, I think Brazil has influences from all over and has developed somehow its own distinctive voice, I would say.
Well, speaking of voices, where all are you going to be performing? Now, you're based in Madison, both of you.
Yes.
UW School of Music in the case of Juan. And what about you, Leo? Are you also...
I teach, I'm based here, obviously, and I teach at Wheaton College in Chicago, near Chicago. And, so we balance the life of being educators, teaching, and performing. And we really believe that one influences the other and feeds the other. So the better we become at performing, the better teachers we become, the better we perform as well.
I'm guessing also there's a component of being an audience member, too. The more you're an audience member, the more you kind of get that perspective on that part of the performance.
That's right. That's right. We often encourage our students to listen, just to stop and listen, whether it be to a recording, you are an audience member at that point, or in a concert.
And have you played this Brahms many times over the course of the years?
I had the opportunity to play.
Leo played it a few more times.
Yeah. So he and I played 15 years ago as sort of like a impromptu honeymoon gift.
Really?
it was a gift.
I don't think she thought it was a gift, much of a gift at least. So I was, I had this concert engagement that would be roughly a month after our wedding. And this was in a festival in Brazil. And the conductor calls me about 2 weeks before our wedding. And he asks, you know, he was desperate. He said, something happened to the violinist. I need to find somebody. Do you know anyone? And I think
well,
to myself.
Well, as a matter of fact.
As a matter of fact. Yes, I do. And
but he didn't ask me first.
I did not. I said, oh, she will do it.
You get used to that, though. I'm sure you worked that out, didn't you?
Yes, I think that's the Brazilian part. So anyway, it was really funny. So he was having a wonderful day on that day. And we really, she ended up agreeing to do it. So,
well, thank you for stopping by and sharing some insights into the personality behind music and some of the technical aspects of it, too. Sohyun and Leo Altina will be performing tomorrow night with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra, the Brahms Double Concerto, the Concerto for Violin, Cello, and Orchestra, and also in the program, Schoenberg's Chamber Symphony No. 1 and an intriguing symphony by Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach. A pleasure to see you and hear you.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you.